Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Please be seated. I knew there would be Minnesotans in the pews today. Our Old Testament reading for today reminds us, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exalt in my God. Or, as I like to do, reading scripture in different translations, the Message allows my more modern mind to grasp it in a different way. I will sing for joy and explode in praise from deep within my soul. Some weeks, my introverted brain swirls with scripture readings from the week. As the week continues, nuances and images start to gel together. I sometimes have a sense, an understanding of a picture, like a puzzle, piece by piece, coming into focus. This week has been one of those weeks. It seems like a long ways back, but last Monday, we celebrated in the church the Nativity of our Lord, Christmas Day. Did you know that nativity means the occasion of a person's birth or the place of my birth? Of course, it comes from Latin, nativus, nativus, arisen by birth. It's where we get the English word native. In Luke chapter 2, the narrative tells us of Jesus' native birth. In those days, a decree went up from Emperor Augustus that all of the world should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to the house of David called Bethlehem because he was a descendant from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. Our own personal nativity. I ask that perhaps this week, in some of your prayer time, you think about your own personal nativity. Like our Lord's birth, a birth transforms those around us. What was your nativity like? Tuesday was the feast day of St. Stephen. Historically considered our first Christian martyr, Stephen was a man filled with the Holy Spirit. He was the first of seven deacons appointed by the apostles in Jerusalem. And in our New Testament, Acts of the Apostle, chapter 6, we read the last few moments of Stephen's life. It is suggested that Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. You are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophet did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become the betrayers and the murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it." And before Stephen died, he said, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Fear can make people do horrible things. Wednesday was the feast day of St. John, apostle and evangelist. John was son of Zebedee, who together with his brother James had been nicknamed the Sons of Thunder by their friend Jesus. These two brothers, along with Simon Peter, formed a kind of inner circle of three among the 12 disciples. This week, I have developed this marvelous image of Jesus as a happy-go-lucky young man with friends, brothers, his age, laughing and enjoying life before accepting his father's challenge. In the first letter of John, we are told, "We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Perhaps Jesus recognized in his young companion, John, a future that others did not recognize, a lesson we should all follow. Look into the eyes of those younger than you. Look into those eyes and see the possibility. Nurture that potential. Jesus chose John to care for his beloved mother, Mary, when they took his body down from the cross. And he did so for the rest of her life with great care. John lived a long and fruitful life. On to Thursday, and the slaughter of the holy innocents of Bethlehem by King Herod. The Gospel of Matthew narrates this tragedy of ego. When the wise men had departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or younger. Baptized in blood, I believe these little innocent ones were held in the arms of angels, comforted in their confusion. Herod put these children to death because he feared that one of them might be Jesus. Fear is what usually drives tyrants. Fear is usually what drives evil. But no matter how tiny or long a lifespan, universal hope that any child can be Christ was not lost on these first young martyrs. Christ is in each of us, and these wee ones proved Herod to be very, very wrong. Hope is much greater than evil. These dear young martyrs still to this day reach down their hands to dry the tears of mothers and fathers everywhere who have lost their babies, no matter what that baby's age. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. This week, we have had birth and death, life and hope. Is it an accident that in this week we celebrate a martyr following a sacred birth? Is it an accident that in this week we celebrate possibility and love, followed by evil and fear? In a little bit, we will share together a meal, the Eucharist. We reenact the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, offering his blood and his body for us. His sacrifice, oblation, and satisfaction for the sins of the whole world. On Christmas Day this past week, a multitude of the heavenly host appeared before shepherds, saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward all people." We raise the oblations once offered in celebration of a child's birth. How is it that we can mourn and rejoice at the same time? The pieces of the puzzle brought a new picture of understanding for me this week. Fear and death, light and passion, they are all integral parts of the life that we live. I cognitively understand this. I can sing for joy and understand the loss at the same time. If we offer our life to Christ, it is no accident. We do not lose our lives, we gain hope. We do not lose our independence, we gain peace. Karl Reinhold Niebuhr, theologian and professor at Union Theological Seminary for over 30 years, is thought to have penned this prayer back in the 1940s. Many know of it in its shortened version. This is supposedly the original longer version. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference, living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with him forever and ever in the next. So for this day, for this moment, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord and the life that is the light of all people. Amen.